has come and the good news that salvation has come. Today we want to talk about the fact that the good news of Christmas speaks to us of the fact that God's salvation is about total renewal and how it's both something that he wants to do in us, but he wants us to join him in the total renewal of this world for the sake of the King. And so let's pray this morning, and I just ask the Lord to lead us into truth as we pray and as we look into it. Father, we do echo the chorus, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Even a word of such exaltation and praise and thanks to you still feels so hollow and short and compared to the great price that was paid by your Son Jesus on that rugged cross. For it was me, it was all of us who deserved what Jesus took. Father, even as we would move through this Christmas time, may we not lose sight of the fact that Jesus came, but ultimately came to go to a cross. We rejoice in you, Jesus, for you rule and reign today, and you have been about the work of renewing all that is broken, and you will finish it one day. And for that, you give us hope. May you speak to our hearts and encourage us through your word this morning. Holy Spirit, come and lead us into your truth, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read, and then we'll reflect upon it, from Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 56, and then we'll begin to talk through it together. It says, at that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby, who was John the Baptist, in her womb, leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who has believed that the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." Verse 46, and Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." And Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. You know, when we talk about the good news of Christmas, we talk about the gospel, there are many ways that people will interpret what it means for us. And typically, it falls into one of two ways. Of the work of Jesus on the cross is either, oftentimes, individuals or churches will focus on the spiritual ramifications of the gospel. That we need to be forgiven of our sin, and we need to have right relationship with God, and we need to have right relationship with each other. That one day, we're going to go to heaven, and that's our glorious hope, and we need to be made more and more like Jesus. It is the spiritual ramifications of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's true. And there are other churches who will focus more on the fact that because Jesus came, that all the wrong things in our society and the hungry and all of the poverty and racism and gender inequality and all of those things, that the gospel came to fix the Jesus came to fix the social problems of our world. And so many churches will, and many individuals will focus on the social side of things and often neglect the spiritual. And those who focus on the spiritual will often neglect the social. And meanwhile, Jesus came not just for the spiritual, he came for the social. And Jesus came for the social, but not just the social, he came for the spiritual. That like a balance, like scales, You have to have both to fully understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's interesting that when Luke, the writer of this gospel, when he uses the word salvation, it's not simply about a spiritual need. It is about the totality of all that is wrong and all that is broken being renewed and made right. Friends, I want us to understand, and we see this morning in Mary's song, that the gospel touches our spiritual need, but it also touches everything that is broken in the world, in the social realm. Both he came to fix. And if we are going to fully embrace the good news of Christmas, we need to hold those two in balance, allowing the social and the spiritual to touch our lives. So let's talk about this morning, because the good news of Christmas is for the total renewal of the world. Sermon notes are in your bulletin if you would like to follow along. And so I want us to walk through so that we have an understanding of the total renewal of the gospel, what this is all about. Understand the total renewal of the gospel. I'll read again for you, even though we read it once, just to have it in our minds. I want to read verses 39 to 49. It says, "At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and reached Elizabeth and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And in a loud voice, she exclaimed, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?' As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And Mary begins to sing and say, "My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name." Understanding the total renewal of the gospel begins with the fact that the gospel transforms lives. The gospel transforms lives. Elizabeth and Mary are two women in this account whose lives were absolutely, utterly transformed. If you remember back a few weeks as we looked through the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth, Elizabeth was once barren. In her old age, unable to have children, and in that day, it was a social shame to not be able to bear children. Additionally, it was going to be an economic struggle for Zechariah and for Elizabeth as they grew older, because the children were the ones who cared for the parents in their aged state. And so here they were with their longings and their disappointments. Elizabeth, once barren, now is carrying John the Baptist, a man who would be filled with the Holy Spirit from birth and would pave the way for the salvation of God to come through the Messiah, Jesus. Talk about a radical shift. She was a transformed woman. You have Mary, who last week we said was not only a virgin, but that was synonymous with the term maiden, which means she was 14 years old or younger. And women in those days had no voice. And if you were a maiden 14 years or younger, you had even less voice because you did not have a husband. And so here is Mary, a voiceless woman maiden carrying the Son of God. All of a sudden, her voice becomes very loud. So much so that this Magnificat is what church history calls the song that she sings. It's so radical that in many nations, especially third world nations, it is banned from being sung and talked about because it is so radical. You think Mary and her voice, you think she got a voice all of a sudden? She's speaking to radical change. And you have two women who, by their social standing, would have been viewed as unfavored, now become highly favored. So much so that these favored ones are now full of joy. They're full of praise. They launch into worship. You have Elizabeth, who is filled with the Holy Spirit. Something that rarely happened in those days unless there was something significant that needed to take place that God wanted to do. And here is Elizabeth, when Mary comes in and greets her, the baby in her, John the Baptist, who is filled with the Spirit from the womb, from birth, leaps with joy within her. And as he leaps with joy within her, she is filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, this is spiritual and social transformation in these two. Their lives have been radically forever transformed. And when the gospel of Jesus Christ, when the presence of Jesus comes and touches a life, it is forever transformed radically. You cannot come to Jesus and not look different. Because Jesus doesn't come to us as just a nice little add-on. He comes to us to revolutionize our lives. And the way he does this is through his cross, through the work he did on the cross, taking the full wrath of God upon himself, dying in our place, and being raised to life 3 days later. He is now the all-sufficient Savior. When we come to him and we repent of our sin and place our full faith and our full trust in him, he comes and takes by his Spirit what was dead and makes us alive. We were once, without Jesus, a child of Satan. We become adopted into the family of God. We become a child of God. We were once in the kingdom of darkness. Now, when you come to faith, you are transferred into the kingdom of light. There is a spiritual reality that absolutely upsets your entire life in an absolutely good way. You will never be the same once you come to know the spiritual transformation of Jesus. But he will also change the things in your life that hold you down over time. He will set you free from the power of sin. He will set you free from the power of the devil. He will set you free from the power of death. He is the all-sufficient Savior. And the good news of salvation is that it touches every single part of our lives. We are transformed. Elizabeth and Mary were two women, two examples of a transformed life. When we understand the total renewal of the gospel, we need to understand it begins by the fact that it transforms, absolutely transforms lives. Secondly, the total renewal of the gospel, it humbles and it overthrows the powerful. Do you see why maybe a third world country would not want this song to be sung? Verses 50 to 52, listen to what Mary sings. It says, his mercy, talking about the Lord, his mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. And when the scriptures speak of his arm, they're speaking of his strength. With the mighty strength of the Lord, he has performed mighty deeds. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. Mary exclaims and declares in her song that God's mercy extends to who? To those who fear him. And that he scatters the proud, and that he brings down the powerful from their thrones. You know, while many proud and powerful rulers that were opposed to the Lord have ruled and still rule today, the total renewal of the gospel tells us that one day there will be only one king. And one day, that one king and his kingdom will rule forever and ever and ever. And that king's name is Jesus. See, the good news of the gospel says that today there may be those who rule in evil and dictatorial and pride-filled, arrogant-filled ways. But they will not be there forever. And one day, the humble king, the one who came to lay down his life, not lord his power, but lay down his life to seek and to save the lost, not to be served, but to serve. That humble king will come and he will rule and he will be the perfect king. And the world will love the rule of the king because he gives himself for his people. See, the good news of the gospel is that there's total renewal coming and it overthrows and humbles the powerful. So whether it was King Saul, or whether it's King Nebuchadnezzar, or whether it was Alexander the Great, or whether it was any one of the Caesars, whether it was any of the many, many kings of the Middle Ages, many of the rulers of the Ottoman Empire, whether it was Hitler, whether it was Saddam Hussein, or whether it is ultimately Satan, any ruler filled with pride and opposed to God, the good news of the gospel says that they will be overthrown one day. You see what has happened to those opposed to the Lord, and it is what will happen. Jesus will be king. The good news of the gospel is that the Lord will bring down the powerful that are full of pride and opposed to him. That should give us hope this day. And lastly, the good news, the understanding of the gospel transforms lives, it humbles and overthrows the powerful, but it also renews all that is broken. Verses 53 to 55, he has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. See, here's what happens with pride-filled, corrupt leaders. The powerful get more powerful, while those without power are abused and hurt. They go hungry. They're taken advantage of. They're used. Wherever there are pride-filled, power-filled, corrupt leaders, systems are broken. And the most vulnerable, the most in need, are the ones who are left uncared for. You notice what it says. After he brings down the rulers from their thrones, that he lifts up the humble in verse 52 and has filled the hungry with good things. See, Jesus has come in place of all of this stuff for the rich and the powerful who will be sent away. The good news shows us that Jesus will renew every system that is broken. And that he exalts the humble and the poor at the exclusion of the proud and the wealthy. Because everything that power and privilege and wealth and evil have stolen away will be renewed and every broken system will be made right. Does this sound like a good kingdom to you? Let me tell you who it doesn't sound like a good kingdom to. Those are who are in positions of power and who do not want to give it up. But for those who are in the place of being oppressed, those who are in the place of being hurt, those who are in the place of being hungry, it is the good news that all will be made right one day. See, the birth of Jesus has set into motion the total renewal of all things, of spiritually and God reconciling a sinful humanity back to himself in Christ, and socially and overthrowing the pride and the power of the brokenness of our world and all of the systems so that they will be made right again. For the good news of Christmas is about the total renewal of the world. And this is what Mary sang. So what do we do with this? Well, we need to be affected by the gospel's total renewal. We need to be affected by the gospel's total renewal. So, three application steps this morning. The first is be continually transformed. If the gospel transforms lives, then we want to be people who are in the midst of continually being transformed. So we believe that the gospel, the good news of Jesus, has the power to transform every single person on the face of the earth who will come to Christ. See, Jesus has come to set us free from the guilt that comes because of our sin. And he has the power to not just forgive you and get you to heaven, but to totally transform your lives. See, the good news is not about behavior change first. It is about bringing new life to those who are spiritually dead. It is about bringing rescue to those who are lost. It is about saving us and bringing us into a right relationship with God first and foremost. Friends, if you have not come to a place where you have repented of your sin and you have trusted Jesus alone for your salvation, believing that he lived an absolutely perfect life, and that is as an absolutely perfect man, fully God at the same time, went to an old rugged cross and suffered the worst death that humanity has ever invented. And at that point, the full wrath of God was laid upon him as all of the sin of humanity was laid upon him to pay for what you and I could never pay for, because none of us will ever be good enough. And ultimately, 3 days later, on what we celebrate as Easter Sunday, being raised powerfully back to life to overcome sin, to overcome death, and to overcome the devil. If you have not repented of your sin and your life of trying to rely on yourself to get right with God, repent today. Place all of your faith in Jesus, that he is the one, the only one who could do it for you. Trust in him. Come to him. And you will find your life to be spiritually transformed from the inside out. And you will see your behaviors change. Not because you tried to do better, but because he broke the power of sin in your life. So be transformed. There are many here today, I know, who have already made that decision and who have said, yes, I need Jesus to be my Savior. I understand that. Friends, there needs to be ongoing transformation. If you have come to Jesus, it is absolutely possible to believe, and this is a lie that is often believed within the American church, is I need Jesus to forgive me and to get to heaven. After that, Jesus, thanks for what you did. I'll catch you in heaven. I got it from here. Friends, if that is how you are living, you do not understand the gospel. Because Jesus saved you, and he's the only one who will keep you, and he is the only one who is your hope for the future. And if the moment you think, well, now I got it from here, you don't understand how desperately broken we are. Because we need to be continually transformed over and over each day more becoming like Jesus. Set free more and more from our hang-ups and our habits and the shame of our past and the guilt that overhangs us and the accusations of the evil one and the anger and the tempers and the ways in which we hurt one another and all those things. Friends, we need to be set free. There's not one of us, first me, who stands perfect in the way that we live. We need to be set free from all of the addictions, from the habits, from the struggles of our lives. And there's only one person who can do it, and that's Jesus. And so, friends, the total renewal of the gospel begins with understanding that first, if you have not been transformed by Jesus and brought into relationship with him, it starts with relationship with him. And every day after that, it is relationship with him. Jesus, make me more like you. Some people may think that that whole, boy, I'm always going to need to be transformed is kind of a depressing thing. And they're like, man, there's always something wrong with me still. Let me tell you, it is the best news ever. And here's why. Because if I am carrying around sin that is a hang-up for me, if lust rules my heart, listen, if lust rules my heart, can Jesus rule my heart? No. So when I let Jesus get a hold of that area, and when I let Jesus do his thing and set me free from that, you know what I get to do? I get to hand it over to him, and he takes it from me. And you know what fills that space in my life that was filled with lust? Jesus. Every time we come to the place where we are transformed, we hand off something that brings us guilt and shame and condemnation and all those things that we don't like and the negative consequences of our actions and all that stuff. We get to hand it off, and in return, we get Jesus. Transformation's a good thing. And the fact that we will never be perfect in this life means this: there is always more of him to know and experience. You can look at it half empty, or the half empty thing, pessimist side. Oh, I'm never going to get better. Or you can look at it as there's always more to get of Jesus, of his control, of his life, of his power, of his glory, of his love, of his peace, of his joy. Every time I exchange something and let him take it, I get more freedom from him, and he has more control over me. And it's a glorious thing. So friends, let Jesus transform you. He's about totally transforming our lives, not just getting us to heaven one day. That's a glorious thing, but he wants to do way more than just get you to heaven. Be affected by the gospel's total renewal. Be continually transformed. Secondly, be found among the humble. Listen, if God brings down those who don't fear him, if God brings down the proud, do you want to be found in that group? I know I don't. I don't want to be found in the group that says, God, I got it. I want to be found among the humble. I want to be found among those who bow my knee willingly to Jesus, not because I have to bow my knee to him. I want to be found among those who will say before the Lord, Lord, it's your way. I don't have it, you. I want to be found among the humble. Mary sang this song that opposes and brings down the proud and the humble, so humble yourself before God. And it is a choice and it is a decision. It is a work that needs to constantly be done to stay humble before the Lord, because the human heart is deceptively sinful. It's deceptively proud. Even when I don't think I have pride there, there's pride there, because it's who we are in our brokenness. And so we always are in need of being aware of how pride will come up in us, so that we might confess it before the Lord and stay humble before him. Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15 says, "For this is what the high and exalted one says, he who lives forever, whose name is holy." This is the Lord speaking. He says, "I live in a high and holy place, but also with the one who is contrite and lowly in spirit." This is the humble one. "To revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite." I heard it said this week, as had a study with the elders, that God dwells in two places from this verse. He dwells where? He dwells in, I live in a high and holy place. Where's that? Heaven. And he dwells another place. Where? With those who are contrite and lowly in spirit. Those are the two places in all of creation where God dwells. One is in his high and holy and lofty place. The other with those who are contrite and lowly in spirit. Why? Because in heaven, who's God? This isn't a trick question. In heaven, who's God? God. Is there anyone opposed to God being God in heaven? No. When you are contrite and lowly in heart, is there anyone who is opposed to God being God? No. God will dwell only where God is able to be God. In heaven, and among those who will allow him to be God in their lives. Those who are proud, those who think I got it, those who don't think they need to fear the Lord, he can't be with you because you are effectively being God. And there's only room for one, and it's him. So stay humble. Stay humble before the Lord. Be found among the humble. And lastly, work for the renewal of the world. Remember how Mary sang, "He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty." how he has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful. You know, over and over again, Israel is always being opposed because they're God's people. And God will always remember his people. Even when they are not faithful to him, he will still remain faithful to them. He will remember the promise that he made to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob all the way back. And so God is always about working for the renewal of this broken world. And because God is about working for the renewal of this broken world, because Jesus came to work for the renewal of this broken world and all the systems that contribute to it and all that stuff, shouldn't we be about it? Or else we're just focused on the spiritual, and we need to be focused on the spiritual, but to weigh things out and to have the full gospel at work, we also need to be passionate about the things that he's passionate about the things that are broken, and join him in how he wants to bring renewal to a broken world. Wherever renewal is needed, we should be joining him to bring it there on this earth. So, the question. How do we know what's in need of renewal? Have you ever wondered that? Have you ever wondered, how do we know here on this earth what is in need of the gospel renewal of Jesus? Whether you have or not, I'm going to tell you. Here's how you know. Here's a question you ask. In this area of life, is this the way it is in heaven? Okay, so ask that question in every situation that you find yourself and say, does this area need renewal? Well, let me ask this. Is the way it is functioning and operating right now, is this the way it is in heaven? If the answer is no, then it needs renewal. It's kind of a simple formula. Is this the way it is in heaven? If it's not, then renewal needs it here. Some areas need a lot of renewal. Other areas don't need as much. But if it's not the way it is in heaven, then there needs to be renewal. So if there are people in our neighborhood who don't know and have right relationship with God because of Jesus Christ, is there renewal that needs to take place in those lives? Because in heaven, is there anyone who isn't in right relationship with God? All right, you can give me some feedback on this. In heaven, is there anyone who is not in right relationship with God? No. So if there are people who are not in right relationship with God through Jesus Christ, is that space, is that person in need of renewal? Yes. Okay, good. Now, if there is a relationship between someone and it is broken, what should we do? In heaven, are there any broken relationships? No. So what does that relationship need? Renewal. Okay, so there is a place where the gospel of Jesus needs to come to bring reconciliation and to bring renewal in that relationship. Let me ask you something. Where people don't have the same opportunities due in their jobs, in regard to money, in regard to power, in regard to position as others, because of their gender, race, or nationality, does it need renewal? Why? Is that the way it is in heaven? No. Wherever that is true, wherever there are some who have more because of a certain gender or race or nationality, whenever there are people who have more opportunity than others because of gender or race or whatever it is, there needs to be renewal. And I know that is a controversial issue this day. But the kingdom is bigger than any left or right political thing. This is about the kingdom and about heaven coming to earth, about renewal coming. It's for the total renewal of the world. So let me ask you, Are there people in heaven who don't have access to water, food, clothing, or education? No. So does there need to be renewal there? Yes. Yes. See, one more. Is there anybody in heaven who has been displaced by war or danger? No. So wherever there are refugees, wherever there are people who are abused, wherever there are people who are unsafe, what does the kingdom need to be? A place where people are loved and welcomed and cared for. This is the heart of God for people. Friends, we love to talk about the spiritual renewal of lives. And this is not about politics. Do you want to know why government is so involved in social things? Because the church has not taken her rightful place in meeting the renewal needs of our world. You know, we went through adoption twice. Everyone says, why does it cost so much? It costs a lot. You want to know why it costs so much? Because about 100 years ago, the church stopped taking care of adoptions and orphans. And the government had to start taking care of it. And there's regulation after regulation after regulation after regulation after regulation after regulation after regulation. And you know what? Every time there's a regulation, you know what that means? Cha-ching, 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 cha-ching. Listen. Our social place where we are at is because the Church of Jesus Christ has not taken her role at being appliers of the gospel and for total renewal in the world. We have majored so well on the spiritual, and there are those who have done this to the exclusion of the social. And please understand, there are those who have gone for the social so much, but they will not talk about your need for transformation in Jesus in the spiritual. We need to be a people of both. Because the gospel was for the total renewal of the world. Mary's song screams it. Wherever there is brokenness, wherever there is need for transformation, wherever there is pride and power, there needs to be transformation, there needs to be humility, and there needs to be a joining with God for the renewal of the world. That is getting on board with the totality of what Jesus came to bring. Many people are familiar with William Wilberforce, who's now famous for abolishing the slave trade in England through the Slavery Abolition Act of 1833. But around the same time in England, many poor children had no time for school and play because they worked in coal mines under inhumane conditions. But these children had a friend in high places, and that friend was Anthony Ashley Cooper. Cooper was the 7th Earl of Shaftesbury and a member of British Parliament. He was a devoted Christian who believed that God had called him to help the downtrodden. For years, Shaftesbury fought to end the abusive child labor practices, and although at times he felt, quote-unquote, that every hand is against me, he stood firm, and Parliament abolished child slavery in the mines shortly after it was abolished of the abolition of slave trade in England. William Wilberforce was a Christian. Shaftesbury was a Christian. Many who led for the abolition of slavery here in the United States were Christians. Dr. Martin Luther King, with the civil rights movement, was a Christian. All of them, their motivation was the gospel of Jesus Christ. Certainly, they knew that there needed to be salvation for spiritual lives. But you cannot just save a life spiritually without addressing the need for renewal in a broken world, because the gospel is about both. Let's keep them in balance. Jesus came for both. May we be people who join with God for the renewal of the world for both. Jesus has come. And in case you didn't get it, he's a radical Savior. Father in heaven, we love you and we thank you for Jesus. He is a radical Savior. He came not just to radically save us from sin and death and the power of the devil. He came not just to transform our lives spiritually. He came to upend and to overthrow everything that's opposed to you, because in doing so, he will make all things right. And Father, it is our longing to see all that is broken in this world being renewed and made right. And one day, we stand on the promises of your word that King Jesus is coming back and he will restore it all to rights. Until that day, may you bring us to deeper places of transformation. For Father, we're not finished products yet. In your sight, we're still perfect and you accept us as perfect, but the lives we live each day, we still need you to transform us. So please do that. Do it in me. Do it in us. And Father, would you keep us mindful and humble before you? And Father, would you give us a passion for the things that you're passionate about and seeing renewal come to this broken world? And so, Father, we join with the prayer of Jesus. May your kingdom come. And may your will be done here on this earth as it is always done perfectly in heaven. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Invite the worship team to come.
Why love?
So as you go this morning, we want to just give you a small gift from our family that we made. It's lemon salt. That's really good on chicken, and if you're a fish eater, go ahead and put that on there. But just, we want you to know that we love you deeply, and that we wish you, from the Conklin family, we wish our Dorseyville Alliance Church family a very Merry Christmas. And so please accept one of these for yourself or your family on your way out. But in this salt, as a reminder, Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. So even as you would use this to spice up your food and make it taste good, may you remember that the Jesus who came is able to transform and wants to continue to transform your life so that you may be saltier and saltier to a world in need of flavor, a world in need of preservation, a world in need of change. You are the salt of the earth. So may you continue to be transformed by him, knowing that he always has more for you because he is a good Savior who wants to set you free of everything so that you're more like him. And would you join him as humble followers in the total renewal work that he is up to in this world? What a joy. May you embrace it this Christmas, and may you find deeper and deeper joy in Jesus. Go in his peace. Amen.